This is CliffCentral.com.
As you can see, my hand ahead there.
We're free. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last. Isn't that how it goes? Huh? Right?
Free at last.
Yeah.
Free at last.
Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. This. What a day. I mean, I.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Were you up last night at 11?
Mm-hmm.
Weren't you, Ben?
Well, when the thing was called for 10 o'clock, that wasn't going to start at 10.
Hey,
this guy likes the midnight hour.
Yeah, he came in at like 20 to 11. People give me shit for arriving late for the show. This guy does this all the time.
Wow, what great company you keep, Gareth.
I was about to remember? Keeping him as a benchmark, I don't know.
Well, he used to be my benchmark. They say you get the government you deserve, and they say that the president is usually a reflection of the people. So you've got to look at yourself and say, hey, how am I like this guy? How did this guy get to where he is if I think I'm so much better than him? It's worth having a look. He started his press conference with laughing. Did you hear? He's great. He walks into the room and he checks out all these journalists. I mean, you've got to admire the balls on this dude, right? His friend AJ has just been arrested, AJ Gupta. He's got the whole of the ANC rallied against him because they're all like sheep and they'll just go with whatever the new leader says. Brainless, gormless, spineless bunch of losers. And now suddenly he's on his own and he feels like, oh, shit, it's 19... Well, what is it? It was 2004-5 when he was at his lowest ebb, right? Mm-hmm. When he was accused of rape, when he was accused of fraud, when he was accused of all these things. His friend Shabir was sent to jail. It must feel like Groundhog Day to this guy, because now suddenly he's on his own again. And he's looking at this going, what the hell? And of course he's been in this rarefied world that state leaders all over the world get into, where they start believing they're special.
It's true. They become a bit drunk on their own sort of reality.
Hey,
it's like,
it would happen to you. It would happen to me. It would happen to Sia. You start believing your superpower. You have a superpower. You're starting to believe at that point that you are, that you're unassailable. So he woke up yesterday morning and he thought, these guys, I'm going to take them down. Because that's how he's always done. He's been smarter than most of them every step of the way, right? Give him credit.
He surrounded himself with morons a lot of the time, so in the land of the blind.
Right. I mean, he has. He's like Faith Mutambi and Batabile Dlamini and Mosipenzi Zwane and Des Van Rooyen. Des Van Rooyen. Imagine what he's thinking this morning, that goddamned loser. I mean, Des Van Rooyen couldn't get a job being the assistant to the assistant to the biggest idiot on earth who doesn't have a job. That's how bad Des Van Rooyen is. Now he's going to have to go back to anonymity. Didn't I predict... A year and a half ago, I said Des Van Rooyen will end up kicking a can around on the side of some dusty road, living with his parents, if they're still alive, or else he'll be in a shack. Didn't I?
Yeah, sure.
I did. And I hate to talk about myself in this situation, but I was thinking about my letter to the president in 2010, where I said to Jacob Zuma in this letter, and it got me into trouble. I had to meet with Zizi Kodwa. We went for lunch. It made national headlines. It went internationally. Every couple of years, it goes back into circulation like it's new. I said in that letter a whole lot of things, that the people will remove you eventually. Didn't I? Do I get no credit for this? All those people who said over the last 4 or 5 years, Gareth Cliff, what does he know? And I know I'm not the only one. Desmond Tutu, who's much smarter than I am and much more revered and has a much bigger reputation and international credibility than I will ever have. I'm just a douchebag on TV and radio and now on the internet. Desmond Tutu said ages ago. You remember what he said. Do you remember? Can I play it for you to remind you?
Mm-hmm.
This guy, the one of the most respected people in the world, Nobel Prize laureate, no less. Desmond Tutu said a couple of things about Jacob Zuma. A lot of people don't have good memory, so they forget this stuff. And you know, in this country, we tend to go from crisis to crisis, so we forget things. Here's what he said, remember?
Hey, Mr. Zuma, I am warning you. One day, we will start praying for the defeat of the ANC government. And I'm warning you. I really am warning you. Out of love, our government representing me, our government is worse than the apartheid government, because at least you were expecting it with the apartheid government.
Remember he said that? Now, that was around 2010, 2011 as well. You remember?
Yeah.
There were a few people who were the canaries in the coal mine with this dude. Long ago. Long before anybody thought he was so bad. And I remember in, what was Polokwane, 2009, 2008, when was it? Anyway, it was probably 2009. This guy came to power and I thought, okay, well, at least, you know, Thabo Mbeki was becoming this slightly megalomaniac centrist. He was in big trouble because of his stance on HIV/AIDS and on Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't doing the greatest job towards the end of his presidency. So a lot of people going, well, it's time for him to go, including Jacob Zuma, Zweli Mzimavavi, Julius Malema, Bladen Zimande. These were the important people in politics then. Look at what happened. I just love to look at this at the historical context now. Because now we've got, you know, we've now got some breathing room. We're not dealing with the immediate, oh my God, this guy's got to go. And Cyril has so much work cut out for him now. This is by no means a solution to all our problems.
Of course not, yeah.
Let's just look at this. Right, so Zuma goes off to Polokwane and gets rid of Thabo Mbeki because he's got this coalition of the disaffected around him, all these people who are unhappy. He casts them aside one by one. Julius Malema throws him to the wolves. Remember?
Yep.
So Julius goes off, starts the EFF. Zweli Mzimavavi, head of COSATU at the time. Julius was, of course, head of the Youth League. COSATU throws him to the wolves. Zweli Mzimavavi's cast out. He's a pariah. You can't even get an interview on a talk radio station. People don't want to hear from him so much. Bladen Zimande was the last one to be thrown into the wolves from a cabinet point of view. This guy was a Zuma acolyte to the bitter end. Do you remember how he went up and he criticized the media and he said there's this international coalition against Zuma, the secret society, it's white monopoly capital. Remember all that shit? Made it up. And then they start to fall one by one. You've got your Claudi Motsuenengs falls to pieces. You see various ministers. He starts firing people he shouldn't fire, like Nhlanhla Nene, Pravin Gordhan, plunges the country into crisis after crisis, never offers us an explanation why. And then he has the cheek to say, well, why are you guys getting rid of me? What have I done? He loves playing the victim, this dude. He did it when he was accused of rape. He did it when he accused of fraud. When he was accused of fraud, when he was fired as deputy president. Every time anything bad happens to Zuma, it's not Zuma's fault. It's like, oh, no. I'm the victim.
No, no, no.
He's got this incredible ingrained victim mentality, and he couldn't resist it last night. I don't know if you heard. He could not resist saying white monopoly capital is the real reason he's leaving.
He says, like, I'll step down gladly, even though I don't agree.
Now what kind of an insecurity complex are you harboring? What kind of massive emotional baggage are you carrying that you just need to go and see a therapist for 5 days a week, even if you're in your 70s? Go and see a therapist that you must blame everyone else in the world. Blade and Vavi and Julius and the DA and the EFF and King Goodwill Zweletini. This guy's blaming anyone he can except himself. He is just totally a victim of circumstance. Yeah, I mean, you can't get to the top of the political pyramid and then say you're a victim. You just can't do it. You're not allowed to. You've won. You won at life. And what did you do? Through your own stupidity and greed, you ruined it. Everybody said when this guy came in, well, he's charismatic. He's got rural people backing him. He's a real South African. You know, he's a proud Zulu. There's a lot about this man that is potentially very good. And he seems to speak the right language. You know, comrade this and the party that. All this communist shit. But when it comes down to brass tacks, what does he do? He gathers money for himself like the best capitalist you've ever seen. This guy, if you know one thing about Jacob Zuma, and I'm sad to see him go for this reason, he's a capitalist. Man, is he a greedy capitalist or what?
Well, in that capacity, though, is it really something to commend him on? Because he's not exactly helping the rest of us.
Well, he's a two-faced hypocrite capitalist because he talks about, you know, white monopoly capital. And he talks about capital and he talks about how the working classes and rural people and Africans are being assailed by all these mysterious forces all the time. But it's never him. And he actually doesn't believe that because he's busy making cash for himself. He wanted an extra 3 months so that he could pillage and steal a little bit more and tidy up and burn some more files and shred some more papers. God knows what information has already gone missing. I mean, the Hawks yesterday springing on the Guptas. Yesterday. Aibo. Yesterday.
Yeah, that's like arriving with a turkey in Easter.
Yeah.
It's a bit late.
It's kind of, yeah, you're a bit old here. You're past the sell-by date. Let's go to the lines. I don't want to talk about this as if it's only my opinion that counts. Let me hear yours. Hey, good morning.
Morning, Gareth. How are you?
Good. Who's this?
That's Greg speaking.
Hey, Greg. What's up?
That's nothing much, man. Just want to say, waking up, it's a good day. Good news that Jacob has left. But I just want us all to remember that this same organization has been standing with him for the last year, couple of years.
Thank you.
There's still a lot of work to be done.
Thank you. I'm glad you brought that up because a lot of people... Yeah. Did you hear some people yesterday? I saw the news. There were some people celebrating and blowing vuvuzelas and someone saying, well, they haven't heard that since the World Cup, which was funny. But people are carrying...
Feel it, he's gone.
People are carrying on.
Gone, but there's a whole organization still...
Right.
And I think it's a good day, but like I said, there's a lot of work to be done and people shouldn't forget that because there's still a lot of corrupt motherfuckers.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, someone actually said, did you see on the ENCA? Yes, yeah. Did you see that clip?
Yes.
Oh, please tell me we can find it.
I actually mailed it to you.
Okay, I got this. You got to listen to this, dude. Listen to this quickly. You're going to love this. Is this on SABC?
ENCA.
It was on ENCA.
ENCA. All right, let me just find this
quickly. That Ray Spates and Nick Bauer was going around the streets of Bromfontein, you know, because that's his hood. And he was asking for...
I mean, you're asking
it's late in Bromfontein.
All right, I got it. Here it is. Listen to this. There's a car full of people, right? Like this chick with this big afro in this car. She's awesome, and Nikolaus Bar goes up to her and says to her, how do you feel? Which is what journalists do when they've run out of questions. And they're asking people who don't really have an opinion. Listen to this.
We had some people that were very keen on our conversation. Anybody else want to give their thoughts on President Jacob Zuma resigning? Don't be shy. Come along. No? Let's see if the camera can follow us a little bit here. No? Nobody's interested? All right. People quite shy. We've got one lady here, maybe. Your thoughts on Jacob Zuma resigning?
I don't know. He must just go. He's just a motherfucker, but wait.
Well, gee whiz, that's quite strong language for live television. Guys, any thoughts on President Jacob Zuma's resignation? Fuck him.
I mean, this is so great, right? That's... Because this is how people now, this is the pressure valve being released. Isn't it awesome?
Yeah, awesome. It's amazing, but there's a lot of work to be done. Let's not forget.
How's that in one clip? He gets a motherfucker and a fuck him.
That sums it up. Like, every person out there would say that. Not one person's going to go, well, you know, it's the process and everyone's
Andile Mkhitama will say, oh, this is really bad. Mm. Hey, listen, dude, did you watch it on TV? How did you pay attention?
You know what, I actually went to bed and this morning, obviously, my phone lit up when I saw, like, you know, all the news, networks updating and whatever.
Right.
And I just, yeah, I wanted to stay awake, but I mean, after the speech of in the afternoon, I was like, fucking hell, this guy, he's going to pull the wool over our eyes again.
Yeah.
The fear was there. Because you never know, because he was a bit unstable in the afternoon. But I mean,
he was very unstable.
Yeah, he was going back and forth there and not saying much, but saying a lot. And people were analyzing the fact that he said he can deploy cadres and it's what he does, and there's violence in his name and all that.
Well, you know,
I just think, look, it's a delusional guy that's had his time. Eh?
Yeah, Pedro's just sent me a message to say, in 2008, Helen Zille said if Zuma's made president, he will be a disaster for South Africa. So can people apologize now for calling her all kinds of names when she was right? She's like the Nostradamus of South African politics.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And can you imagine Thabo Mbeki? I was thinking about him last night. I was listening to the whole thing unfold because I had the TV on in the background while I was doing some work. And I kept thinking about Thabo Mbeki. I kept thinking, he's sitting in his house in Kilani going, because he goes, what goes around comes around, right?
Mm.
I mean, yeah. Zuma even had the temerity to say in that SABC interview he did, he said he was one of the people who didn't want Thabo Mbeki to resign him. Did you hear that?
I saw that, but then Julius went on to Twitter and said, no, I was there.
Yeah, he was there. What a liar. I mean, he's deluded. Anyway, thanks, dude.
Anyway, enjoy the day.
You too, man. All right. Some good points raised there. He says the whole ANC is the problem. It's not this dude.
Mm.
One guy. Now, we're all excited about this one guy getting out. And by the way, it's not like he had a lot of options. I saw someone. Where was it? Because I was flicking through the channels. I can't remember. Someone saying, oh, they're so proud of him for making the right decision. Like he had a whole lot of options.
Yeah.
Do yourself a favor. It's either he resigned. He chose the easy way out. He slid out of the back door because today would have been that motion of no confidence that would have been going on. He would have been embarrassed by his whole party throwing him out. And he would have lost all the perks and privileges of being a president. And he mentioned perks and privileges probably 4 or 5 times in that resignation last night. So it really matters to him, even though he kept saying it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't matter to you, why do you mention it 4 or 5 times? You know, don't lie.
Yeah.
And we were so used to you and lying. Nhlanhla Nene is going to the BRICS bank. That was a good lie. Telling Parliament, Des van Rooyen was the best person to take over as finance minister. Do me a favor. You're a liar. You have no credibility. Listen to this. Here's the official moment of resignation.
No leader should stay beyond the time determined by the people they serve. I
love the way also during this conversation that he was, because he rambled on for like 40 minutes or whatever.
Yeah,
he could have just gone. He could
have
gone on TV and said, hey guys, listen, I'm out. Thank you. I'm resigning. And no one clapped when he left. It was very awkward. He went, okay, thank you. And everybody was stony faced and dead quiet because I bet you those media people wanted to cheer and clap and also say what those guys in the car in ENCA said. Fuck you, motherfucker. That's what they wanted to say. So he resigns and then at the end, there's this silence. Nobody's clapping. Because you know at the end of most of these things, the media kind of start talking. And
yes.
It was just quiet.
But here he is. You know it's a moment.
And just pay attention here. He's talking about, no leader should stay longer than the people want him to stay. And he's talking about constitutionality. This is a guy who the Constitutional Court said has no respect for his oath of office. Suddenly, he's got respect for the office. I love it. Such hypocrisy. When are we as a people going to stop tolerating hypocrisy?
The people they serve. I have therefore come to the decision to resign as President of the Republic with immediate effect.
Yeah, with a gun to your head. I've come to the decision to resign. Yeah, well, what other options did you have?
Mm.
Impeachment or no confidence? This is not a difficult decision, dude. And you could have saved yourself a lot of trouble if you'd just done it a couple of days before. But no, always has to try and hang on to whatever he can. Greed, greed, greed. Power and greed.
Even though I disagree with the decision of the leadership of my organization, I have always been a disciplined member of the ANC.
Sure, that's why they supported you all along. And they did. These people who are also, they're patting themselves on the back now for getting him to resign. They're all crooked as he is, because they were the ones who were supporting and aiding and abetting him while he was pillaging the state. And those charges aren't going away. He's still going to have to face up to them. A lot of people are saying, oh, well, he's got away with it. Don't you worry. The wheels of justice turn slowly. And sooner or later, he's going to have to account for himself. So if you're one of those people who's going, oh, but I want him to go to jail, you might just get your wish.
As I leave, I will continue to serve the people of South Africa as well as the ANC, the organization I've served all of my life.
Yeah, it's time for you to get a real job.
Like?
Well, go out there and, I don't know, wash cars or whatever you can, because you should not be in an official capacity in any big organization. Just get out there and you know what? You go and farm your chickens in Kandla. That's what you should be doing. You should never have been president. I've said it before, I'll say it again. And all those people who want to disagree with me, well, isn't it funny how I was right and you were wrong? Ta-da! Great, he's gone. Oh, by the way, can you imagine all those Valentine's couples who, after a night of a few drinks, got home last night and thought they were dreaming?
That's your...
Because listen to this. My husband and I, says Anushka, stumbled into the house last night after our Valentine's Day gin pairing session. We were too drunk to really comprehend the resignation. I'm going to have a gin shot now in solidarity with the people of Braamfontein, Anushka. Again, I'm going to play this clip because I just love it so much.
What did you think was going to happen as a journalist being out in the streets on a Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday evening in Braamfontein?
Well, here they are. Let's listen to Nikolaus Bauer doing what he does best.
We had some people that were very keen to knock up and say, anybody else want to give their thoughts on President Jacob Zuma resigning? Don't be shy. Come along. No? Let's see if the camera can follow us a little bit, yeah? No? Nobody's interested? All right. People quite shy. We've got one lady here, maybe.
You're going to get what you asked for.
Your thoughts on Jacob Zuma resigning?
I don't know. He must just go. He's just a motherfucker. But wait.
Well, gee whiz. That's quite strong language for live television. Guys, any thoughts on President Jacob Zuma's resignation?
Fuck him.
All right. We'll have to leave it at that for the moment, Kathy. People are very, very spirited on the streets of Braamfontein. We'll try and see whether or not we can hear from people elsewhere than the city of Braamfontein. But I can at least confidently say that people are very, very passionate about their thoughts on President Jacob Zuma's resigning.
You don't say. Hey, Nikolaus Bauer.
They cut back to studio, and also this Kathy woman was trying to contain herself.
And she was obviously laughing.
You could tell that she was cracking up behind the scenes. And she goes, oh, yes, Nikolaus, yes, spirited.
Is that Kathy Motlatlana?
Yes.
She's great.
Oh, my goodness.
I like her. Hey, all right, so...
I wonder how long their broadcast went
That is the best work Nikolaus Bauer has ever done. I just want to give credit where it's due. I really think he's done a great job on this one. Congrats, Nikolaus. You finally, by passing the microphone to the right people, you've done your job eventually.
Well, he is on a good track, though. Remember at the ANC conference, he also gave us Zuma's reaction.
That's right. That's right. No, you deserve the credit you're getting.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Thank you. All right. I do have to also say that yesterday Karen Morn was at...
Saxon Royal.
Yeah, the Gupta compound. So they asked her afterwards... So, they always go, so what is the atmosphere like? She says, people are driving past and I cannot repeat the language. But people are... Because South Africans are so gutful of this shit going down. That Karen was saying that basically people were driving past and swearing at the Guptas.
I can just picture it now.
Of shit. Can you imagine?
People driving, one hand on the steering wheel, the other
just
a zap sign.
Yeah, oh,
it'd be pretty funny if you were to sell eggs like down the road. At cost. Yeah, just buy these. Okay, cool.
Drive past the compound.
The gate. All right, so I don't know if it's worth going into any other news, but we'll look at some other news stories too. But most of the interesting stuff was about the president yesterday. I also see, and this is probably somewhere to start because we can get to the president and his stuff and talk about that all day. I think everyone in the country is. Morgan Tsvangirai died yesterday.
Yeah, long battle with cancer.
That? What a...
Well, he's been particularly poorly the last month. You know, he was here in the country in hospital, and it didn't look very good. It hasn't for a while now.
Yeah. I feel bad about this only because he was in here once and we had a really good interview with him. We had an amazing discussion. He brought in his book, which he'd written at the time. And he sort of faded from public view for the last 3 years. And it's obviously because he was sick. And the MDC has kind of become very obscure. And they've become even more obscure now that Robert Mugabe is removed because... And this is also what's going to happen to the DA and the EFF, right? Now that Jacob Zuma's out of the way, they've lost their best playing card. I would be surprised if between them they can get 25% or more of the vote. Because people are, you know, people think that, oh, well, then now the ANC's cured.
Yeah.
You don't, you have to remove every piece of the cancer. If you have cancer, you have to remove the every cell. That's why people go for chemo and radiation. Because if that cancer has a place to grip and to stay, it's going to spread again. And we've got rotten people in that ANC. Rotten people.
Well, they're all turning like Malusi Gigaba right now. I mean, that guy's...
Wow, he's done a 180-degree turn, huh? This is the guy who enabled
state capture. There are a lot of dizzy politicians this morning, wondering which way to go.
And how's that lowlife Jesse Duarte, as Kay says on Twitter this morning or on WhatsApp? That lowlife Jesse Duarte... making a speech about how great the president's contribution was.
Did you watch that afterwards?
She couldn't get any closer to that painting of Jacob Zuma licking Atul's asshole. She couldn't get closer to licking his asshole than that. You've never heard such crap. I mean, she was struggling to find... It was only about 5 minutes long, but she was listing his, in inverted commas, achievements. She had to dig deep, because what she's really reading out is a list of the last 9 years of government... and how little has been done for the people of this country. The list of bad things, just take any news bulletin from the last 9 years. Any news bulletin, you'll find 5 reasons why it's been a fuck-up. But Jesse Duarte, managed to make 5 whole minutes of praise up.
Did she really have to speak?
Well, she did nothing all day yesterday because she was sitting there next to Ace Magashule the day before, and then yesterday she had to react to the president. I mean, she's caught between a rock and a hard place because she was backing this dude to the hilt. Do you remember?
Mm.
She's been his PR troll in chief, and Ace is going to be arrested
that
soon.
That makes for a great business card, PR troll in chief.
I'm telling you. Anyway, we're trying to look at the 5 things you need to know today. So let's go to some other headlines. I see a really cool headline, and this is a good story because we need more good news today since we're on a good roll with the president leaving. Africa has got its first genome sequencing facility.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Construction at the African Genomics Center is underway and is expected to be completed in June. The South African Medical Research Council has collaborated with the Beijing Genomics Institute to establish the country's first genomic sequencing facility. Alterations in one's DNA sequence can cause disease. DNA alterations are detected through the process of genomic sequencing. Gives an indication of one's risk of developing certain conditions. Rizwana Mia, who's the head of South African Medical Research Center, or Council, says, "We've grown to understand that the African genome holds a large amount of diversity. The 95 million rand project will be based in Paro Valley in the Cape." Another win for the Cape, which is... You know, they say that they call it the Silicon Cape now, and that's where all the tech businesses are going to establish themselves. And I see this story just as one of the others, because we really, after Morgan Tsvangirai, the genome sequencing facility, the president leaving, his bizarre speech on SABC, this is the only other interesting angle in this. Several sources at Oak Bay Investment Santon offices claim duffel bags often leave the premises with unknown officials driving black SUVs. Mm. And Eyewitness News confirmed.
Wow. Whereabouts is that? Is that office?
They're in Santon. I'm not exactly sure.
I saw two ML Mercedes black ones, slight blue lights on top of them, leaving this office, which Didn't have a lot of signage.
Mm. Well, here's what happened. Listen to this. The Hawks went there on Wednesday morning, yesterday. They arrived at 6:30 a.m., stayed for an hour and left, apparently empty-handed, because the Coopers aren't stupid enough to leave the kitty litter lying around. Then several sources at Oak Bay have told EWN that President Jacob Zuma's son, Dudu Zane, was at the offices on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
They claim duffel bags often leave the premises. They were turned away from the reception area and was given no answers to several burning questions. Hmm. How do you like that? Earlier on Wednesday, they were said they were carrying out several raids about the Frieda Farm investigations. The net seems to be closing in. So apparently, AJ was arrested, AJ Gupta. And he'd just woken up. He woke up, again, Karen Morn, she's great. She says...
Legend.
He got up in a panic and ran.
He ran
in his underpants through the garden.
Oh, imagine that view.
And his bed wasn't even made. Just when they raided the house, his bed was unmade. So he was like, oh, shit, they're here. Oh, and ran through the garden in his underpants.
Like a proper criminal.
Yes, like you would see in a...
It's like a scene out of Narcos when they bust into some honcho's place.
What was he expecting? To scale the wall and jump over? And I mean, at this point, with everything that you do, allegedly or not, couldn't you have built yourself a bunker at this point?
No, it's
an underground terminal.
You become so brazen because you think you're untouchable.
Yeah.
You've got to feel sorry for the unpaid security guard at the compound yesterday. He's just there... He just wants to get through the day, maybe get paid this month, and just then it's like all of this.
And then your boss is running through the garden in his underpants, trying to get away from the Hawks.
It's about time.
Wow. And Cyril Ramaphosa just quietly threw this in yesterday, under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa said he believes the woman who accused President Jacob Zuma of rape.
How are you? Did he? Oh, guys.
How's that?
Yesterday was too much.
Which woman? Weren't there numerous?
It's not a new story, but it just came out sort of under the radar. Oh, this just slipped in.
How did he have time in his day to release that?
Yeah. He said the outcome of the court case led to his acquittal. He said he felt he had to pay heed to the evidence that Kwesi presented in court. And isn't that interesting? I know how difficult it is for a woman to garner the courage to say, yes, I was raped, and yes, I believe her. I mean, he just threw that in quietly. Talk about sticking the dagger in.
Well, what else is going to happen in the next few days?
Because this is exciting.
These little daggers are going to keep coming.
Well, I'm still holding thumbs that the president now starts getting vicious and starts opening up all the files, because then we can see just how rotten everyone is. Everyone. You see all these people, like Balega Mbete yesterday in Parliament. She's like, oh, this is definitely going to happen. We're getting rid of the president. Just a couple of weeks ago, she was backing him to the hilt. Mm. She was saying to Julia, sit down, Mr. Malema, sit down, honorable member. Telling everyone to shut up in Parliament. Like she was the big cheese. By the way, she's technically our president today. You know that?
Well, according to other reports, Ramaphosa is now acting president.
Well, he hasn't been elected.
Yeah.
But so he's acting, but she technically, if he isn't sworn in, she becomes the president.
So I'm just reading
the moment we... You know what? What's the bet we work better without a president? Actually, how about we just don't fill that role?
And you've said that many times over.
Yeah, but this is the thing we've been saying for so long. It's like all of this commotion around people we don't actually need in our lives.
Yeah.
How pathetic all this really is.
Let's just leave this alone.
According to Section 90 of the Constitution, when there's a vacancy in the office of president, which there is now after Zuma's resignation, the first person in line to act as president is the deputy president.
Okay. So then it's after that, it's Baleka, and then I got it wrong.
Yeah, they're only ever acting anyway.
An acting president has a responsibilities, the powers, and the functions of the president. That's what the Constitution says. So, good morning, President Ramaphosa.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who thought we'd be saying those words? You remember Justice Malala this time last year was saying to me, I'll bet you, what was it, $100, that he won't be gone by December? Justice was right. It wasn't December, but just 2 months later, he's out of there. Justice, and on Valentine's Day.
Justice was so good on TV last night.
Jesus, Justice is good.
Like, he really is so much better than those other people who sort of clamber around that studio, acting smart.
All right, we've got to get to Ben's sport. We've got to get to Sid by Sia. There's a lot to talk about today. We want to take your thoughts and your calls. And you're allowed to say whatever you want here. You can swear if you want to. It's not like ENCA where you get into trouble.
You can bring us spirited commentary.
Yeah, they pull the microphone away from you when you're busy expressing yourself. We don't shut you down. Bitcoin is going at All right, Bitcoin's trading at 9708.
9708.
Not bad. It's getting close to that $10,000 mark again.
It was south of 9 yesterday.
Yes, 9,700.
So Zuma was linked to Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, don't think he was. Neo's climbing nicely at 123.
What's Neo? Where did that be? Where does Neo
a cryptocurrency? Oh, there's so many, Ben. Ripple's going at 1.128. Ethereum is trading at $931.43 right now. And Bitcoin Cash, because I heard you mention it yesterday, 1349.6.
Yeah.
All right, so it's all happening this morning. And there's lots more to talk about. But right now, we got to get to Ben, who's got lots to tell us about the Winter Olympics and plenty of other sports. It's Thursday! And don't forget, because it's a Thursday, you get a bumper edition of Ben's Sport in the form of the Bounce Show, where he talks about everything sports related, talks to interesting guests.
Yeah, this week we've got rugby tuition that can come to all people via very smart software.
Yeah.
And obviously looking at the pro tiers and why they're so crap. And is Otis Gibson, well, is he short of the mark? Well, we'll get into that at 10 o'clock today, so SA time. But right now we're going to talk Champions League. Because, and I kind of expected, I got to say, I've been calling this for months, Real Madrid hammered PSG last night, 3-1. PSG, the big money team in Europe. And, well, to their sort of misfortune, they got Real Madrid in the last 16. Real finished second in their pool behind Spurs. So PSG, who are high-flying, scoring goals left, right, and center, they had to go to the Bernabeu yesterday. They made a bright start. They're 1-0 up. But their numerous waves of attack and Real Madrid, two goals there from Real, Cristiano Ronaldo, 3-1. So that's what they're taking to the second leg in Paris. Porto, they hosted Liverpool and got absolutely smashed, 5-0. 5-0. That's the thing with Liverpool. When they're going forward, they are devastating. They really are.
You said some horrible things about Portuguese football yesterday, Ben.
Well, it's... What is it? Really?
Sure.
It's... Portuguese football is when they come together as Portugal and Ronaldo plays for them.
All right.
But Porto, where Ronaldo actually started, nothing really. So 5-0, Mane got a hat-trick, and that is away. 5 away goals. So Liverpool's through, basically. I mean, it would take match-fixing to see otherwise. So that's very exciting. But just look at Cristiano Ronaldo. I know people help us for the last few years. They've been going about the fact that him and Messi are strides above everyone else, but they really are. But just how good is Ronaldo? Well, last night he brought up his 100th and 101st Champions League goal. Wayne Rooney, I like to use this example because Wayne Rooney will go down as a very good footballer. Say what you want about him, but he'll still be seen as a very good footballer.
Mm-hmm.
And Wayne Rooney, I mean, at the age of 16, he was playing professional football. He has scored 30 Champions League goals. That's not because his teams were never in the Champions League. It's just that Ronaldo is more than three times better than him. 101 goals in the Champions League. And obviously Real get to finals and they do play a lot of games, but still, there's a massive gulf between those two players. Lionel Messi, 97 goals, and then we've got a massive jump backwards to Raul, who was the stalwart of Real Madrid during the 90s.
Uh-huh.
66 goals. Again, it's like they weren't playing so much less games. It's just that Ronaldo is so incredibly good and Messi's obviously up there. There's the 4-goal difference. Chelsea will be hosting Barcelona in the next leg of matches. So that's Messi's chance to get back up there. But 101 goals. It's something so amazing. And like I always say, we get to see it in our lifetime. I don't see any other... It'll take something super, super impressive to see any other sort of person come up and match these figures, match these sort of goals. Just incredible. Right. In rugby news, Eddie Jones, who is often the man who is saying outlandish things and getting into trouble... So much so that he's currently on like some sort of behavioral watch, so he's trying to, you know, not piss anybody off right now. But he said that this retrograde refereeing that comes out is just wrong. We saw it with that guy, the South African ref. Got his name now.
Hmm.
When Scotland were penalised against Australia in the World Cup, there was a penalty. The game was swung on that. massive, massive, like, sort of disagreements around the ruling of that. And then the IRB, World Rugby, then says, yes, you were wrong. So the same thing's happened here, England versus Wales. Wales were trailing 12-0. They scored a legitimate try. The TMO was like, nah, that's not a try. So in the heat of the moment, it was a bad call. These things happen. Everything balances out in life. But now after the match, World Rugby is admitted. Yeah, World Rugby says, no try. Sorry, it was a try, and it's a bad TMO decision. So what does this do for the game? Well, I don't know. Eddie Jones makes a good point. He often says a lot of stupid things, but I kind of agree with him here. He says, look, once the final whistle's gone, it's done. The game's over. We move on. If we're going to keep bitching about things that have happened, who wins? Who comes out of this? The game's done. The result's not going to change. It's just a lot of bitching and moaning, which then puts extra pressure, and the media just lap it up. It kind of brings the game into disrepute, and I do kind of believe him. I sort of side with him on that. But another rugby news, Super Rugby starts this weekend. And, well, they've done it again, haven't they, Super Rugby?
What did you call it yesterday? Just average rugby.
It's just average rugby.
Yeah, it's not Super Rugby, really. So if you're honest, if you call it what it is.
The big opening weekend sees just two matches.
Sure.
So they're trying to reinvigorate this thing as the 15 best teams that come out of this tournament. But then have a big first weekend. And that's half-hearted bullshit. There's two games this first weekend. So it starts with an absolute pop and a wheeze. Stormers versus the Jaguars at 3 o'clock. At 3 o'clock in Cape Town. Mm-hmm. And then same day, Lions taking on the Sharks. And that'll be at 5:15 in Johannesburg. But we'll get into that tomorrow. Otis Gibson in cricket. Well, he doesn't understand why Ed Markram's form has just dropped off. Well, Otis, it's pretty much because you've given him the captaincy. Now, I'm not knocking you for doing that, because right now the Proteas are in a disarray. Faf du Plessis is not there. Who knows what Abi Davila is ever going to do. And Hashim Amla is not a skipper. So who do you give it to? So Markram has been identified as a future leader, and Gibson, to his credit, had the ball to say, look, this isn't just some sort of stand-in decision. This guy, I believe, is the future. Very talented player. He's 23. He's shown himself in the Test arena to be pretty handy. His form in the ODIs has been shocking, though. Unfortunately, it's been one of the many factors of why the ODI series is gone. But at least the guy had conviction to say, this guy is going to be my skipper going forward. Hmm. So, yeah, sure, we can all poke fun at it and say it's a bad call and his batting's crap, blah, blah, blah. But this is the problem about being an international coach. When it goes wrong, it really goes wrong, and everyone just starts calling you cuck. But at least the guy's making decisions.
They swear at you in Bromfontein.
They do. They swear at you in Bromfontein. But speaking about foul language and misbehavior, Kagiso Rabada has been given another demerit point. He's been fined 15% of his match fee for waving Shaka Darwin away when he dismissed him in Port Elizabeth. You can't do that kind of thing. You can't show, you can't have send-offs and, you know, swear at people. But then again, like, there's got to be a line to this. Kagiso Rabada is a fast bowler. He runs in, he throws the ball hard at the dude. The guy hits him before, he gets upset. He gets him out, he says, bye-bye, piss off. That's, I mean, come on.
You know what?
Who's that really going to harm?
Stop thinking that everyone in the world has to be nice to you all the time.
Yeah.
Your parents lied to you. There are people in the world who don't think about you and don't care about you and aren't interested in making you happy.
Just leave.
Grow up, yeah. You child.
Someone said on Twitter that we should basically just crowdfund Kagiso Rabada's send-offs.
I'm for it.
So that,
yeah,
he doesn't get fined, he can just stay who he is.
Right.
So he's currently on 5 demerit points. If he gets to 8, then he could be banned for... Sorry, suspended for 2 tests, or 1 test and 2 ODI T20s, or 4 ODIs and T20s, whichever comes first in the period that he will be suspended for. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I get it. You don't want the game to be a bunch of hooligans shouting at each other, but still, there's a lot of feeling that goes into sport. This is what these guys do. This is their job. It's like, you know, if you're in the trading floor and a stock just drops and you've just invested all your clients' money into it and you go, ah, fuck. And they go, no, 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 none of that. There'll be none of that here. There'll be no blue language on the trading floor. We're humans. We have emotions.
Right.
Give the guy a break. And, well, there is Winter Olympics news, but it's not great news. And the Winter Olympics is such a positive thing. I almost feel like I shouldn't be reporting negative stories. But there has been controversy in the Jamaican women's bobsleigh. So exactly 30 years since the men's Jamaican bobsleigh got onto Calgary.
Well, that was a big story.
And of course, we knew that was a big story because of the movie Cool Runnings. Mm-hmm. Well, the coach of the Jamaican bobsleigh team, she... The story is kind of weird because some reports are saying that she owns the sled. So now she's been fired and she wants to take the sled with her. Other reports are saying that the sled isn't owned by her. It's part of the Jamaican Bobsleigh Federation. So everything's going to carry on. But it's a really petty story of how it's like, well, screw you. I'm going home. I'm taking my ball with me. So people say that the bobsleigh team will still carry on. But that is doubt if they even have a sled. It's pretty bad. But yeah, of course, that's Winter Olympics right now. If you are looking for some action today, well, there is still plenty. Alpine skiing, currently on the go. Then it's the biathlon, the men's 20 kilometers. Sorry, I can't talk this morning. 20 kilometer individual. Then more bobsleigh, cross country skiing, and of course, curling. Right. So much curling. So much. Figure skating, freestyle ice hockey, luge, skeleton, ski jumping, and a whole bunch of snowboarding this morning. Lots and lots of snowboarding. And then speed skating from 1 o'clock South African time to wrap things up from Pyeongchang today. Yeah, that's about it. I want more time in life. I'm not getting enough Winter Olympics.
I know. But
these highlights packages aren't doing it. I need to watch
and then you got people like the president distracting us from the Winter Olympics by resigning. It's very annoying.
That's so annoying. Anyway, that's my sport. I'll be able to speak better tomorrow, I hope.
Well, you know, if your tongue works in your mouth, yeah, it happens sometimes.
You get days, huh?
Sure. All right, that's still more articulate than the president. Here's Sia with Said by Sia. What do you got for us this morning?
Yo, well, we just have to look out into a horizon and the better days. In the spirit of what's been happening in this country, I'm proud to say that on behalf of Advocate Thuli Madonsela, the former public protector,
there's another person
of
who
South
deserves,
Africa.
She's another person who people should say, ah, she told us so.
Oh, yeah. She's announced that she's in the process of creating a non-partisan operational private foundation to operate as the Tuma Foundation. Mm-hmm. She says that the foundation seeks to develop leadership for
democracy.
Can
I just say that tumor is not necessarily a good word?
Well, not tumor as in T-U-M-O-U-R.
T-U-M-A.
T-H-U-M-A.
Well,
tumor.
So it's obviously from Thuli Madonsela.
Could be.
Yes, that's what it is.
I don't know the difference.
But tumor, the way you pronounce it is all that matters because people don't know how to spell it.
Oh, no.
Things.
Tuma Foundation, right. Yes. The foundation seeks to develop leadership for democracy, development, and peace. And she says she wants to focus on a leadership approach that is ethical, purposeful, impactful, and committed to service. I think this is amazing. She said, how can we reimagine South African democracy? Can we hope for ethical and accountable leadership? Well, together we have an opportunity to start a new era. Let us collaborate to build the South Africa we dream of. So with this foundation, she's targeting young people, which will also extend its leadership development initiatives to groups such as women and disadvantaged communities as well. She says that the focus will be empowering these groups with leadership skills to enhance constructive engagement in democratic processes. So far, which the foundation is aiming to launch now, early in this year, and it will be part of the foundation's mission to help develop a brand new crop of leaders playing an active and tangible role in building social cohesion and a more peaceful society. Now, Advocate Madonsela herself has provided R500,000 as seeding funding for the foundation. So look at that. If you want to find out more on the foundation, you can visit tumafoundation.org. That's T-H-U-M foundation.org. And in the words of the great Oprah Winfrey, I say, a new day is on the horizon. We have the Tuma Foundation. We have Zuma out. Who knows what tomorrow holds? So that's said by Sia this morning.
All right. Well, here's some more good news. I just got an email from Right to Know, who you know have been fighting for a long, long time.
The Right to Know campaign?
That's right. Mm-hmm. They are shedding no tears, they say, for the end of the Zuma presidency. We will remember him, says the Right to Know Foundation, for the secrecy bill, Marikana, and for his corruption. Unlike Jesse Duarte, who will try and remember him for helping rural communities or whatever she made up yesterday. Mm. He would have used the secrecy bill to cover up the secret dealings of government institutions and criminalize the work of journalists, whistleblowers, and activists who tried to bring the information to the public. Thanks to the tireless efforts of people from every corner of our country, the secrecy bill was effectively stopped. It has sat on Zuma's desk for over 3 years unsigned. We will remember him for Marikana. We will never forget that the police gunned down people on live television. If Zuma had a shred of dignity or decency, he would have resigned that very day, but instead he hung on to power for as long as possible. He will be remembered for selling out the people of South Africa in a series of secret and corrupt deals. Not only those labeled state capture, but also his deals with European corporations as part of the arms deal and his relentless pursuit of a secret nuclear deal with Russia. From start to finish, says the Right to Know campaign, Zuma's presidency has been a sustained attack on openness, transparency, and the free flow of information. His legacy is in a decline in the quality of democracy for ordinary people and a ramp up in secrecy. We do not decide, and we do not delude ourselves that South Africa will be rescued by the leaders who will replace Zuma. If South Africa is to be rescued, it will be by the people of South Africa working street by street to fight for a better life for themselves and a more democratic and just society for all. There's much work to be done. The Right to Know campaign. So there we go. That's quite interesting. Just got that email now. And we'd like to know what you think, too, heading up towards 8 o'clock this morning. I want to hear your thoughts, your reactions. And take it all in. You know, sometimes there's someone who's been watching this quietly over the last few days and has some really interesting, original, and thoughtful observations that they'd like to share. If you think that you've got an angle on this that needs airing, then give us a call. You know what to do. 0861-555-189. I've got to play this quickly for anybody who's feeling it this morning. Just a little pressure release, because I know it's not the solution to all our problems. But the fact that this president of ours is gone, this president who we've been, as a country, pretty much united against. It was so interesting to see Parliament yesterday, all the parties working together. Mm. It's as if for a moment they forgot that they were parties and remembered that they were there to represent South Africa. Just for a shining moment. And while I never take politicians seriously, and while I don't look to them to offer moral or leadership guidance in any which way, because I think you're stupid if you do, just for a minute it looked good to see South Africans of all parties standing together against a common enemy, the enemy of the people. So congratulations to Parliament for finally getting their act together. And I'm talking particularly about the ANC. Right. Everybody, release the pressure.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
All right, there we go. That's enough of that.
Beautiful.
You like it?
Sweet, sweet, sweet sounds this morning.
Right, exactly.
So the rand is currently 11.73.
Yo. Is that the best it's been in, what, 3 years?
Last night it was 11.66, but I'm sure we'll find out with Anthea.
All right.
We'll look at those.
Very interesting. I can't believe it's actually happened. I know it's only symbolic because, you know, there's still a lot of problems, so I'm not deluded. But this is a big deal.
Mm. It's something. Like, we feel like we've had nothing for so long, and this is finally something.
Do you know, I didn't believe that it would happen. That's why over the past couple of days and so much happening, I just thought, oh, here we go again. Let's not get all excited for nothing at all. So I was out last night and I was just got back home around 11 p.m. And as I walked in and I switched the TV on, that's when Jesse was speaking. Mm-hmm. Like, whoa, 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 what's going on? What's this conference? What is going on? And I see the strip on the news saying President Zuma resigns.
You couldn't believe it, right?
I really couldn't at all. I stood in my lounge for a good 20 minutes, now flicking through social media as well, trying to catch up on what had happened.
I think yesterday there were three phases. There was him being him in that stupid interview on SABC where he literally spoke in circles and said nothing.
And we all thought after watching that, oh, this guy's not going to go anywhere. Absolutely. Yeah.
He was in casual shirts, just being him. And that was the real him. He was making no sense. He was just evading and being a dick. And then there was he's in a suit and he's reading a speech, because he sure as hell did not write that speech. No. Not the slightest. He was given a speech.
There were words in there that he didn't even know how to pronounce.
No, so and he was thrust out there and they just said to him, you will do this right now. And then the third phase was Nick Bauer in Bromfontein with the people's voice. Oh. And I think those are the three things that really stood out for me, because that was exactly what was actually meant to happen. He showed his true colors. He was then given the boot and then the people had their say.
That is such a well-balanced view of South Africa.
Beautiful, poetic series of events. Yeah, and then AJ Gupta running in his jocks.
That's funny. Running away in his jocks.
I picture like silk trousers.
No, I picture skid marks and a sweaty man running with guilt.
That's great.
Guilt in his every stride.
That's fantastic. What a day in South African society, politics, and just generally being around to witness this. I mean, this is an incredible thing. All right, let's get cracking, everybody. We got lots to talk about, and I'd like to hear from you. You know what to do. WhatsApp us on 0797482090. You want to call us 0861555189.
This is CliffCentral.com.